unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul?
Hello, you're listening to the In Search of God's Instructions podcast. I'm your host, Shirley Vinson, and every week I invite you to join me for support and encouragement on your journey to a deeper understanding of the spiritual way that God wants His children to live. We are all in this spiritual walk of life together, but no matter the storms you face, if you search for His instructions, He will bring you through. Let us begin with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of coming together to study your word once more. And my prayer, Father, is that you will please be with us, open our spiritual understanding, and provide us with knowledge, discernment, and insight into what you would have us to glean from your instructions that you've given us in this book. Be with us and guide us as we seek to gain an understanding and be able to connect the dots, put the pieces of the puzzle together to give us clarity on the things that are happening in the world today as we wait for the Messiah who is soon to return to us. These things I ask and pray in the name of Yehoshua, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. This podcast show does not condone anti-Semitism, anti-Catholicism, hate, or any violence towards any group of individuals based on their choices of how to live their lives and on their faith. Today we're going to be reading from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a minister and a prophet during the captivity of Judah while they were in Babylon. The book of Ezekiel is not just about what took place to Judah that led into captivity that took them into Babylon, but it also provides insight and it prophesies for the future captivity, for the times that Judah was currently living in, as well as for the future. So when we read the book of Ezekiel, we want to keep in mind that we are going from the past to the present to the future. So let us begin. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the first day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Bozzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great sound with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each one of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. Their wings stretched upward. Two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their bodies. And each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. And the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like a flash of lightning. Now as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth, beside each living creature with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the color of beryl, and all four had the same likeness. The appearance of the workings was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they moved, they went toward any one of four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome, and their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. When the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went, because there the spirit went, and the wheels were lifted together with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. The likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of an awesome crystal stretched out over their heads. And under the firmament, their wings spread out straight, one towards another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side of the body. When they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty, a tumult like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. A voice came from above the firmament that was above their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man high above it. And also from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw as it were the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire with brightness all around, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. And he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are impudent and stubborn children. I'm sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writings on the inside and on the outside, and written in it were lamentations and mournings and woe. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat the scroll and go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with the scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their forehead. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears. And go, get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them, and tell them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touch one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and a great thunderous noise. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to the captives of Tel Abib, who dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat there where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, You shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, Arise, go out into the plain, and there I will talk with you. So I arose and went out into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there like the glory which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and spoke with me and said to me, Go, shut yourself inside your house. And you, O son of man, surely they will put ropes on you and bind you with them, so that you cannot go out among them. I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth, so that you shall be mute and not be one to rebuke them, for they are a rebellious house. This is very familiar with what is going on today in the times that we're living in among the nations that Israel has been scattered to throughout the world. First, we see here, God told him the people were going to put ropes on him and bind him with them so that he could not go out among them. Meaning, the people don't want to hear what he has to say. We're going to put ropes on you and we're going to shut you up. We're going to put you inside of a jail cell or a house or however you want to call it. You're going to be confined so that you will not come out and start speaking to us about what the Word of God says, because we don't want to hear it. Isn't that what is happening today? We don't want to hear what the Word of God says. Don't come out here telling us in our schools what the Word of God says. Don't come out here on our college campuses telling us about what the Word of God says. If we want to know what the Word of God says, we can go to the church of our choice. We can read about it for ourselves. We don't need you coming out here telling us what the Word of God says. So they create laws to prevent you from coming out telling them what the Word of God says. Sure, you can go and you can stand on a corner and you can shout it all you want to, but if someone thinks that you are disturbing the peace or you're causing havoc to somebody who is annoyed by what you are doing, they will surely call the police on you. And if you don't have a special permit in most places to stand out there and talk about what the Word of God says, you will surely go to jail for speaking out about what the Word of God says to people who don't want to hear it. Then he says here in verse 26, God says, I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth so that you shall be mute and not be one to rebuke them, for they are a rebellious house. Again, we have a similar thing going on here today. God has not caused our tongues to cling to the roof of our mouth. However, the laws in the society of which we live in has made laws to cause us to keep our lips zipped in public, keep our opinions to ourselves, and not say anything about what the Word of God says, because we're living among rebellious nations. Every nation is a house to itself. So, in essence, we are living among a rebellious house in the times that we're living in today. And this is as it is for all the captives of Israel, all those who have been driven out into captivity these thousands of years ago, when God drove us into other nations throughout the four corners of the earth. At verse 27, but when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. So that means whenever God speaks to you, through whatever form, in this particular case for me, you're getting what the Word of God says in the form of a podcast. Keep in mind here, I am not standing out on the streets reading to you what the Word of God says. I am not taking my podcast and saying to you, you must subscribe to my podcast or else, so that I can teach you what the Word of God says. Instead, I've put it out freely, and anybody who wants to access it have the ability to do so if they have internet access. And for those who do access it, it is because they have made that choice. And for those who don't access it, for whatever reason, that's entirely on them, whether they know about it or whether they don't know about it. The whole point is that it's not being forced on them. So that is what the Word of God is saying here. If you want to hear it, you come and you access it. You listen to it. You contemplate it. You take the Bible and you study it for yourself to see if what I am saying is indeed written and true or it's not. Judge for yourself. If you don't want to hear it, you turn your ears off and you move on with what is for you. You also, son of man, take a clay tablet and lay it before you and portray on it a city, Jerusalem. Lay siege against it, build a siege wall against it, and heap up a mound against it. Set camps against it also, and place battering rams against it all around. Moreover, take for yourself an iron plate and set it on an iron wall between you and the city. Set your face against it, and it shall be besieged, and you shall lay siege against it. This will be a sign to the house of Israel. Lie also on your left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of the days that you lie on it, you shall bear their iniquity. For I have laid on you the years of their iniquity according to the number of the days, 390 days. So you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you have completed them, lie again on your right side. Then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have laid on you a day for each year. So we have here 430 years, because remember, God has given him one day for a year. And this is for both the house of Israel and the house of Judah combined. Therefore, you shall set your face towards the siege of Jerusalem. Your arm shall be uncovered, and you shall prophesy against it. And surely I will restrain you, so that you cannot turn from one side to another till you have ended the days of your siege. Also take for yourself wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. Put them in one vessel, and make bread of them for yourself during the number of days that you lie on your side. 390 days you shall eat it, and your food which you eat shall be by weight 20 shekels a day. From time to time you shall eat it. You shall also drink water by measure, 1/6 of a hin. From time to time you shall drink it. And you shall eat it as barley cakes. Bake it using fuel of human waste in your sight. Then the Lord said, so shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, where I will drive them. So God is telling him to take these beans and to crush them up and make of them bread. And he's to eat it so much every day until the 390 days are completed. And he's to bake the bread over the heat that comes from human waste, human dung. Because God says, so shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, where I will drive them. And we look at that and compare it to the times that we're living in today. See, God's prophecies goes according to generation to generation. It's not just for this particular time period. It goes until God puts an end to it. And so therefore, it's generational, from one generation to the next. And what we see here is God is saying that the children of Israel will eat defiled bread among the Gentiles, where he is going to drive us. So that means we're going to be living in nations that are not our own, among Gentiles who do not know God, who have no desire to know God, and we are going to be at their control as to what we eat, how we live, what we do. All things about our lives are going to fall under what the Gentiles deem is okay to do and not okay to do, because we're going to be living by the rules of their laws as opposed to the rules of God's laws. And because of that, it will be bitterness and unsavory, defiled bread for us to have to take down and live with, because there's going to be a polarization against what God says to do as opposed to what the Gentiles who are against God says to do. So I said, O Lord God, indeed I have never defiled myself from my youth till now. I have never eaten what died of itself or was torn by beasts, nor has abominable flesh ever come into my mouth. Then he said to me, see, I am giving you cow dung instead of human waste, and you shall prepare your bread over it. Perhaps cow dung is better, because hopefully it is not with other flesh mingled in with the grain that's eaten by the cows. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, surely I will cut off the supply of bread in Jerusalem. They shall eat bread by weight and with anxiety, and shall drink water by measure and with dread, that they may lack bread and water, and be dismayed with one another, and waste away because of their iniquity. Meaning that when Israel is driven out to all of the lands that God is going to scatter them to, they're going to be anxious about eating, anxious about drinking, and they're going to be in dread for their lives. From morning to evening, it's going to be bitter for them. The bread of life will not be there for them because of their turning against God's instructions. And you, son of man, take a sharp sword. Take it as a barber's razor. Pass it over your head and your beard. Then take scales to weigh and divide the hair. You shall burn with fire 1/3 in the midst of the city. When the days of the siege are finished, then you shall take 1/3 and strike around it with the sword, and 1/3 you shall scatter in the wind. I will draw out a sword after them. And you shall also take a small number of them and bind them in the edge of your garment. Then take some of them again and throw them in the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire. From there a fire will go out into all the house of Israel. So God is telling him, from the hairs of his head and his beard, he is to divide it up into 3 equal parts, 1/3 each. And from that 1/3, God tells him what to do with each 1/3. And this is an indication that when the captivity starts to take place, when Jerusalem starts to fall, 1/3 of the people are going to die in the siege, in the midst of the chaos that will take place in Jerusalem. The city is going to be set on fire, and God is going to drive them out. There's not going to be one stone left upon another. Because remember here, Ezekiel is in the place of Babylon, and they are already under captivity in Babylon. So this is the first captivity for Judah, okay? It's the first captivity, and Ezekiel is a part of that captivity. So this captivity that God is telling him about now is the captivity of a future event coming, a future captivity where God is going to destroy all of Jerusalem, and not one stone will be left upon another. And that is what we see when we read the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Messiah said not one stone was going to be left upon another, because the city is going to be destroyed in a siege, and 1/3 of the people that are there are going to die in that siege when it takes place. Then we have another 1/3 that is going to get killed by the sword as they are fleeing. As they flee, the soldiers will be coming behind them and will be destroying them. They will die by the sword. And then that 1/3 that makes it out, they will flee into other places nearby, other cities nearby, where they can run to. But God has already decided that once they get there, their peace will be for a short period of time, because the 1/3 of them eventually is going to go into captivity throughout the entire world, into all the nations, the 4 corners of the world. Then he tells Ezekiel to take again and throw some of it to the midst of the fire, indicating that lots of them will burn in the fire. And from there, a fire is going to go out into all the house of Israel, meaning wherever they go from there, where they're scattered throughout the entire world, wherever they go from there, a fire is going to constantly be behind them. This is a spiritual fire, not a physical fire, but a spiritual fire. They will have no rest. They have no peace. Something is always going to be in the midst of igniting some passion within them because of the the wicked and horrible times they're going to endure while they are in captivity. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations and the countries all around her. She has rebelled against my judgments by doing wickedness more than the nations, and against my statutes more than the countries that are all around her. For they have refused my judgments, and they have not walked in my statutes. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have multiplied disobedience more than the nations that are all around you, have not walked in my statutes, nor kept my judgments, nor even done according to the judgments of the nations that are around you. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, indeed, I am against you and will execute judgments in your midst in the sight of the nations. Keep in mind here that Israel is the apple of God's eye and still is. He gave them instructions to live by so that they could be a light to all the nations around them. So when he brought them into Jerusalem and they were at peace and living according to his instructions, doing all the things that he told them that they are to do, when they were applying his instructions in their lives, all the nations that lived around them were in fear of them. They never bothered them. And if they did bother them, God would raise up the soldiers of the tribes of Israel and send them out to battle, and God would always conquer for them. It wasn't that Israel was so mighty that they could take care of destroying nations around them on their own. It was the power of God who fought their battles for them. It was God who put the fear of all of these other nations around them into dread of them and having fear of coming against them. So they did what they could to try to live in peace with them. But the thing to keep in mind here is what happens when you have people that are surrounding you who hasn't come in and doesn't want to come in to worshiping God the way God says that they are to worship him. How do you defeat them when you know that they have a God that goes before them and wins all of the victories for them? He is God Almighty, the creator of all life. So you know you don't stand a chance fighting against such a God. So you learn about the instructions that God has given them as to how to live their lives. And once you learn about those instructions, you start finding weaknesses within the people to cause them to disobey God's instructions. You find a way to make them want to live your lifestyle as opposed to God's lifestyle. And by doing so, you know that their God will turn against them. And this is what happened to Israel. And this is what happened to Judah. They started turning against their God because they started putting in practices in their lives what the other nations around them were doing. And I will do among you what I have never done, and the like of which I will never do again, because of all your abominations. Therefore, fathers shall eat their sons in your midst, and the sons shall eat their fathers. And I will execute judgment among you, and all of you who remain I will scatter to all the winds. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord, surely, because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable things and with all your abominations, therefore I will also diminish you. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. So because of all the things they started doing, practicing, or bringing into Jerusalem, the things that God told them that they're not to do, they're not to look at the other nations and live according to the other nations that surround them were doing, they didn't listen and they started doing these things anyway. So God is going to remove them out of Jerusalem, out of the land that he gave them, and he's going to send them to the four corners of the world And he's going to let them have their fill. And so the other nations are going to see this. What do you think the other nations are going to do? They're going to rejoice. Yay! We don't have to deal with them and their God anymore. They are no longer living among us. And this is when we see Psalm 83 taking place. Many, many, many years later, nevertheless, Psalm 83 comes in and it gets fulfilled because of what happened here. And we see when we study through Roman history, when Jerusalem was destroyed after the Messiah was staked down, Josephus writes that they indeed, the fathers ate their children, the mothers ate their children, because they were starved out by Titus Vespasian, who went in and destroyed Jerusalem. Not one stone was left upon another, and that's what's documented in Josephus. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable things and with all your abominations, therefore I will diminish you. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. 1/3 of you shall die of pestilence and be consumed with famine in your midst. 1/3 shall fall by the sword all around you, and I will scatter 1/3 to all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after you. Thus shall my anger be spent, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be avenged, and they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal, when I have spent my fury upon you. Moreover, I will make you a waste and a reproach among the nations that are all around you in the sight of all who pass by. So it shall be a reproach, a taunt, a lesson, and an astonishment to the nations that are all around you when I execute judgment among you in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes. I, the Lord, have spoken. When I send against them the terrible arrows of famine, which shall be for destruction, which I shall send to destroy you, I will increase the famine upon you and cut off your supply of bread. So I will send against you famine and wild beasts, and they will bereave you. Pestilence and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. They're not going to be comfortable no matter where they go. They're going to go through peaks and valleys. For the most part, they're going to have a little bit of rest here and there. But for the rest of their lives, while they are in captivity, them and their descendants can expect to be a reproach among the nations that they are living in. And part of that is because as they live in the nations, they will come to realize that there really is a God who cares, a God who loves them. And it was never his intent for them to live the way they are living amongst the pagan nations in the world. Now the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. And say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I, even I, will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. Then your altars shall be desolate, your incense altars shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols, and I will lay the corpses of your children before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around your altars. In all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, your idols may be broken and made to cease, your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Yet I will leave a remnant, so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations when they are scattered throughout the countries. Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captives, because I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes, which play the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would bring this calamity upon them. Thus says the Lord God, pound your fist and stamp your feet and say, alas, alas, for all the evil of abominations of the house of Israel. For they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. He who is far off shall die by the pestilence. He who is near shall fall by the sword. And he who remains and is besieged shall die by famine. Thus will I spend my fury upon them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when your slain are among your idols, all around your altars, on every high hill, on all the mountains, under every green tree, and under every thick oak, wherever they offered sweet incense to all their idols. So I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land desolate, yes, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblah, in all their dwelling places. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. God is very angry because of the adulterous ways of our ancestors, the things that they did. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end has come upon you, and I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. My eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity, but I will repay your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, a disaster, a singular disaster, behold, it has come. An end has come. The end has come. It has dawned for you. Behold, it has come. Doom has come to you, you who dwell in the land. The time has come. A day of trouble is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains. Now upon you I will soon pour out my fury, and spend my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abomination. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will repay you according to your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes. Your abominations will be in your midst, meaning wherever God sends us. The things that our ancestors did when they rebelled against him by turning to worshiping as all of the pagan nations around them did, we will be in the midst of it in the pagan nations that he is sending us to in captivity. So, what are those abominations? Eating pork, eating crawfish, eating crabs, crab legs, eating scallops, eating shrimps, you name it, anything that creeps and crawls. People are into turtles these days, I've been told. People like to eat all kinds of creepy, crawly things on the ground. God says we're not to eat those things. Our abominations are in the midst of us because our children are kidnapped, or not even kidnapped. They're just taken from us. People are so bold. Some men are bold enough to even walk into people's houses and take their children. There was this case that I read some time ago, about a year or two ago, in Charleston, South Carolina, where this man happened to spot a young woman who took one of her children to school, and she just happened to have a younger child who was not of school age that was with her. He saw the younger child, followed her back to her house, walked into her house, beat her down, and took this young child from her, took this child off, and did God knows what wicked things he did to her. I can imagine. He was eventually caught, headed to Alabama. So he drove from Charleston, South Carolina, through Georgia, into Alabama, or perhaps he took a northern route. The point is, they caught him right at the borders, I think it was, of Alabama. Our children have no safety anymore. Human trafficking. They rape the young as well as the old. They sell boys as prostitutes as well as girls. There is no shame. That is the wickedness that we live in amongst the Gentile nations that God has scattered us to. And we can only say amongst the Gentile nations because people who fear God does not allow these things to happen in their land, because God says we should not allow them to happen. Behold, behold, the day, behold, it has come. Doom has gone out. The rod has blossomed. Pride has dubbed. Violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, none of their multitude, none of them. Nor shall there be wailing for them. The time has come, the day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for the wrath is on their whole multitude. For the seller shall not return to what has been sold, though he may still be alive. For the vision concerns the whole multitude, and it shall not turn back. No one will strengthen himself who lives in iniquity. They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle. For my wrath is on all their multitude. The sword is outside, and the pestilence and the famine within. Whoever is in the field will die by the sword, and whoever is in the city, famine and pestilence will devour him. Those who survive will escape and be on the mountains, like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning, each for his iniquity. Every hand will be feeble, and every knee will be as weak as water. They will also be girded with sackcloth. Horror will cover them. Shame will be on every face, baldness on all their heads. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuse. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They will not satisfy their souls, nor fill their stomachs, because it became their stumbling block of iniquity. As for the beauty of his ornaments, he set it in majesty, but they made from it the images of their abominations, their detestable things. Therefore I made it like refuse to them. I will give it as plunder into the hands of strangers, and to the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they shall defile it. I will turn my face from them, and they will defile my secret place. For robbers shall enter it and defile it. Make a chain, for the land is filled with crimes of blood, and the city is full of violence. Therefore I will bring the worst of the Gentiles, and they will possess their houses. I will cause the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction comes. They will seek peace, but there shall be none. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be upon rumor. Then they will seek the vision from a prophet, but the law will perish from the priests, and counsel from the elders. The king will mourn, the prince will be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the common people will tremble. I will do to them according to their way, and according to what they deserve. I will judge them, then they will know that I am the Lord. And that's exactly what has taken place with all of Israel. That is what has taken place. God said that he would bring the worst of the Gentiles and they will possess their houses. So what do we have in Jerusalem today being trampled by the Gentiles, possessing and fighting even today for what they say belong to them because they are the people chosen by God? If they are the people chosen by God, then why is it that they are still fighting over land that God said that he would bring them back to and they would live in peace, never to be uprooted again, never to be at war again? It only tells you that what is taking place in the land that is called Jerusalem today obviously has not been fulfilled yet by what is written in the book of Ezekiel or any of the other prophets according to the times of the Gentiles. We are in the very last part of the Gentiles. The Messiah is soon to return, and we know this from what is prophesied and written in the book of Daniel. The worst of the Gentiles, who lives and teaches by words that are not from the Bible that God has given, but their writings of men. And even with the Bibles that we have, a lot has been altered in a way to try to deceive people on the earth as to what the Word of God really says. A lot of history has been hidden, obscured, locked away, because the worst of the Gentiles, who are determined to not let them be revealed to the people of God. God said his people who have gone into captivity will eventually come to realize the error of their ways. And he's waking us up today, revealing to us who we are. Keep that in mind. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord fell upon me there. Then I looked, and there was a likeness like the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his waist and downward fire, and from his waist upward like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. He stretched out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, Son of man, lift your eyes now toward the north. So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there, north of the altar gate, was this image of jealousy in the entrance. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing, the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here, to make me go far away from my sanctuary? Now turn again, you will see greater abominations. So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, Son of man, dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, Go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. So I went in and saw, and there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. And in their midst stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. So you know, a censer with incense in it going up to represent the prayers of the people. That's what it represents. So they are praying to these abominable creeping things that are idols. They're worshiping idols. Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the room of his idols? For they say, The Lord does not see us. the Lord has forsaken the land. And he said to me, turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house. And to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz, a fertility god. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again. You will see greater abominations than these. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of God and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun toward the east. And he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a trivial thing to the house of Israel to commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and they have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore, I will act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. So they worship abominable creeping things. They were praying with incense to abominable beasts and creeping things. Even the elders were involved with censers in the hand. The women were praying to the fertility god Tammuz, baking cakes, giving sacrifices to Tammuz. Their backs were to the temple of God, and they faced the east, praying to the sun, worshiping the sun god, the sun as God. And what does the word of God tell us about these things? We are not to worship anything in the heavens, on the earth, or beneath the earth. None of his creations, because they are God's creation. So, God says, if you want to worship this way and this is what you want to do, I'm driving you out to all the lands that are doing just what you want to do. And you can stay there until your flesh decays, your heart stops, and be forever separated from him, worshiping the sun god. God says, keep the seventh day as rest. But the first day of the week, known as Sunday, is what most of the world decides that they will keep at rest. And the polarization continues and goes on and on. God has warned them and warned them and warned them. Stop doing this. Stop doing this. Don't do this. Because if you continue to do this, I am going to throw you out of the land. I'm going to send you off into captivity. I am going to destroy Jerusalem. Well, they didn't believe it. And it's just like it is today. Because here we are. The prophecy of Daniel is coming to an end. And we know the Messiah is soon to return. Because the prophecy of Daniel is telling us at the end of these days, the very last days, which are the days that we are living in, God is going to set up a kingdom here on earth that will rule in righteousness for 1,000 years. And after that comes the kingdom of the eighth day that will never end. Nevertheless, in these days, Israel is scattered to the four corners of the earth, doing exactly what God says. If this is what you want, this is where I'm sending you. And it is going to be this way for you until I say I'm bringing it to an end. And he's at that time now. He says he's bringing it to an end. So this is to continue. On our next podcast, we will be picking up at chapter 9 in the book of Ezekiel. And we will see where this will take us, where God is leading us from here. What is the next thing he is revealing to us in these days that we are living in? Until we meet again, may God be with you as you take the time to study his word. May God be with you as you go in search of his instructions.